You are now tuned into the truth frequency.
Your protection from deception. TLR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
And Harris, Dykes and Ferris, tell me where is sanity? Tax the rich, feed the poor, tell their own rich no more.
Well, regular listeners know, new listeners will soon find out that's where we always start the program. Everywhere I look are Freaks and Harrys, tell me where is sanity. Dykes and Ferries, Freaks and Harrys, tell me where is sanity. We got a little sanity here, at least we'd like to try and think so. And that's what we do, is try and impart a little of it on you so that hopefully you, the listener, wherever you may be, can get yourself into some sort of reality and your arms around this deception that's been pulled off on the entire world. So here we go. It's a Monday. Monday, can't trust that day. Today, we probably can trust some of the things we're going to hear on Monday, though, I promise you. And it is, of course, the 2nd of May. And I guess the common celebration of Illuminati Day, otherwise called May Day, which leads right into our subject this day. And today I've got, as promoted on Friday, Deanna Spingola with us. I'm really happy to have Deanna back again. And I'm just going to turn the show over and introduce Deanna to those of you who might not know her or familiar with her work, and let her kind of catch us up on where she is and what the situation is. Hey, Deanna, welcome back to the Radio Ranch.
Well, thank you so much for having me back. I have learned so much from you. And every time I see the word Sony, it just brings a whole different perception.
That one thing right there is an amazing piece of information, isn't it?
Standard Oil of New York. How could we not have seen that? And you brought that to my attention. The other thing that I really appreciate, and I have used it extensively since you told me about it, is the snipping tool. I have it on my taskbar. It's always there. I can't tell you how many times I've used that snipping tool.
That little thing is really convenient, and a listener turned me onto that, one of these computer guys. And for the audience, just so you know what we're talking about, you can go into your, if you're on Windows, first of all, I'm sorry. Secondly, go into your program little thingy and put in snipping tool. And this program that's bundled in Windows will pop up, and you can put it on your taskbar and stuff. And it, well, you tell them what it allows you to do, Deanna.
Oh, my gosh. You can go to any website or any video or any image, and you just pop pop it up. Let me tell you what I'll do it right this minute. And it says, drag the cursor around the area you want to capture. Oh, my goodness. I have captured so many images, and I have done so much with that snipping tool. It has opened a whole new avenue of things that I can use and capture, and oh, my gosh.
Well,
it's amazing. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
It is just amazing. I can't tell you. Probably I've used it 300 times.
How funny that the show would go off on this direction when it's got you here on Monday with all this stuff swirling around us. So we're going to talk about the two S's, Sony and the sniffing tool.
Yes, but tell us about Sony and why that's so significant.
Well,
and of course the whole thing with Japan in the 1920s. Oh, there's so, which I've written about. But I did not know about Sony. I knew that there were big corporations in Japan that were investing in everything. But Sony, tell us about Sony.
Well, it's an interesting thing how that developed. I was teaching at the time for a 10-year stint. For those who are new to this or hadn't read the book, I was teaching for 10 years after my active music business career for 10 years, radio and records, and at the Art Institute of Atlanta. And that was just as I was getting turned on to all this stuff. And I was absolutely obsessed with it back then, as I know I still am. And all, you know, once this bug bites you, it's like that kissing bug thing. Man, you can't get rid of it, all right? And for a truth seeker, when this little bug bites you here and puts you off on a path, it's like an old friend of mine used to say, Deanna, it's like a guy who wants to trade cars. You either trade with him or you shoot him. And that's kind of what this is. You know, you just got to keep moving forward because the suction is so strong. And so at the time, the guy that was the assistant administrator for our program was married, Jewish guy, used to own a recording studio up in the Midwest and had married this little goy girl, was really, really attractive redheaded gal named Linda. And they'd moved down to Atlanta and Marty had sold his studio and his wife had gotten a job at the Bank of Japan branch there in Atlanta. They had been going worldwide and opened up a branch there. And in fact, she was so efficient and so attractive and just so, you know, together. And she was the president of the bank of that branches, the head of the branches, private secretary. And at that point, she was the highest ranking female in the world for the Bank of Japan because of their traditional patriotic culture. You said you wrote about it in the 20s. So, she was pretty plugged into the top there, and that's when this came across my path. And what happened was I got a mailer for the old Spotlight. Many of the old timers will remember the Spotlight magazine and Liberty Lobby there in Washington. You know, Willis Carto just passed away, I guess, within the last year or so, the guy that kind of spearheaded that. And anyway, they had sent out a mailer. I'd got on a list of theirs. They were looking for subscribers and people. And this thing came in the mail, and there was 20 questions on there. And of the 20, I don't remember, 10 or 20, whatever it was, I don't remember any of them except that one. And that question was, does Sony stand for Standard Oil in New York? And that hooked me, okay, because of my interest in electronics and my career path and all that kind of stuff. And so I know that Marty, my boss's wife, works at the Bank of Japan. So I go into work and I said, Marty, would you ask Linda if Sony to ask around over there at the bank and if Sony stands for Standard Oil New York? And so I don't know, it was a month or 6 weeks later. I was in there one day and he was in there because we weren't always in the office at the same time. And so I go into his office. I say, hey, did you ever talk to Linda, man? He says, hey, she went all the way to the top of the bank. And here's what happened for the audience that hadn't read the book. She went and asked the first employee, and he said, you know, I don't know, but in our language, the Japanese language, every word is related to the culture in some respect somehow. And he said, Sony, it's called kanji is the Japanese term for that. And he said, Sony has no kanji in Japanese. So it has no attachment to the culture like the entire rest of their language. And then she goes to another guy who'd just come over from Japan. And he said, you know, I don't know, but it's funny how such a little insignificant company could become so strong and powerful after the war.
Indeed.
And then she went to her, and then after that, she went, the only guy she could go hire to was her boss. And she told her husband, Marty, she said, I'm not going to ask him. So evidently, even the impression she had got at that point was, yeah, this is something real significant here. So that's what the question is. Does SONY stand for Standard Oil of New York? I came to the conclusion after that incident that it did. And knowing the enemy, which we stress so much on this program, it's the key to knowing everything that's going on is understanding these guys, and I know you agree with that. And knowing them as I did even at that point, I said it's pretty, you know, after World War II, they had to have split up the world in some respect, probably between the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. And the Rothschilds took Europe and they gave the Rockefellers the East that had just been conquered. So right. I think that probably is what happened. I can't say for sure. I can't prove it. It's just a real strong suspicion. You know, you get to know these guys so well that when something comes in like this into the puzzle and it just fits, see, it answers all the questions and there's no unanswered questions out there. As Ayn Rand said, a quote I like to use, there are no coincidences.
Right. Yeah, I think FDR said that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Both of which were communists.
Yeah, of course.
Yes. So the other thing too is that, that Rockefeller actually went into China and tried to, well, he established or tried to establish allopathic medicine. And he took over the kerosene business and all kinds of things. So I think that legitimizes what you just said about the world being split up. So you have Rockefeller in there with his SONY and, you know, well, yeah, Standard Oil of New York.
Well, you remember that when they opened up China, who was sent over there was Henry Kissinger.
Exactly.
Who was Nixon's Secretary of State. And yes. Kissinger is, I've heard it said that Kissinger is Rockefeller's right-hand man and Zbigniew Brzezinski is the left-hand. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But from what those guys have done and written about and played into the picture as we do know it, that would make sense to me.
Yes. Amazing. But just that I found that so fascinating. And when I see a movie or something, or when I see it on a television screen, I don't see movies so much, but I always remember that. And I think, oh, how could we not have known that? And you discovered it and you shared it with me. And it was just mind boggling.
Well, let's take that in a conceptual direction in a bigger picture here. They put everything they do right in front of us.
I know. And they do it in such a way, like the protocols. Okay, let's just tell them what we're going to do to them. And let's see if they're bright enough to read the protocols or to recognize the protocols when it happens to them. For instance, the immunization of diseases. Why people don't get this, and I talked to somebody over the weekend, somebody came to visit me, and how did this subject came up? I don't know how these subjects come up, but it did. The subject of vaccines came up, and because she was talking about her autistic grandson. And I said, when did he become autistic? After which vaccine did he become autistic? She said, what? And I said, well, and I tried to explain to her. And she said, oh, no, vaccines are wonderful. They're just wonderful. I totally believe in vaccines. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, with all the evidence that is just glaring. I mean, autism and Alzheimer's were all but unheard of 30, 40 years ago. So do those two things run in people's family? No. I mean, people are so brainwashed and indoctrinated that they fail to see the evidence when it's right in front of them.
Deanna, I have had an experience recently. I was on a recent trip to Buenos Aires and I was staying in the same house down there. I've mentioned it to our audience numerous times, but it just goes to bear with what you're saying. There's a big time retired personal injury attorney from the Midwest there had made a ton of money and got busted for tax stuff, did a little 6-month stint in a country club, got out, has been traveling the world for years. And here's a licensed attorney with a list of degrees. I mean, law degrees, MBAs, all kinds of degrees. And, very successful in his life. And man, to sit down and try and talk with this and put legal facts and my book in his hands, and he wouldn't go read it. And he wouldn't look at any of the facts, but he'd sit there and try and argue with me like he had a witness on the stand trying to discredit a hostile witness or something. And I mean, I just got fed up. Finally, the last week I was there, we just didn't talk about it. We made an agreement not to talk about it. I said, when you go on and start looking at facts where we can have an intelligent discussion, then we'll talk again, you know? So otherwise I get aggravated, see?
And, sure. It's very frustrating.
For 25 years of trying to talk to I call them pod people. You know, like
yes.
the invasion of the body snatchers?
Yes.
Pod people? Well, I think
yes.
They have to put one of those big ochres by their bed overnight sometimes, man, because they just walk around in this daze.
Yes. It is amazing to me that otherwise intelligent people could believe the things that they believe. And I told her about my granddaughter, who, despite the fact that I alert my relatives to the dangers of vaccines. Anyway, my granddaughter was vaccinated, and within a day, she apparently suffered a mini stroke because within a day, one of her eyes was out of focus. Oh. So now she has to wear special glasses. She may have to have surgery. I mean, she's 4 years old.
Oh, that's got to break your heart, Deanna.
It is heartbreaking. It is heartbreaking. And I also have an autistic grandson. And, gosh, I mean, it is heartbreaking.
Well, listen, why not? Because some of the people may not know your background. We've just launched into this talking about Sony and SNP tools, and now we've transitioned over here. Why don't you give the audience some of your background and just the high points, because I want to launch into a discussion on our enemy and the things that you're seeing happening lately. See if we can blend something and have something concrete come out of it, and maybe before the end of the show, open up the phones and let some of the audience ask yourself or me any questions. So if you'd give them a thumbnail of your background and some of the things you've accomplished since you woke up.
Well, you know, I've had a couple of different periods where I woke up. And the first time that I woke up was after I had read None Dare Call It Conspiracy by Gary Allen. And I thought, wow, oh, my gosh. Well, I thought that everybody I would talk to would embrace the ideas that he presented. I joined the John Birch Society because I wanted to do something. I wanted to make a difference. And of course, I think the John Birch Society is, well, they never talk about the real enemies. They are a limited hangout. They are probably funded by Rockefeller.
No, not probably. I'm sure yes. You could probably say that they've had a non-overdraft account with Chase Manhattan since the day they were opened.
Exactly.
After Robert Welch sold his family candy company to the Rockefellers.
Exactly.
And used that as the startup money. I think there's a pretty legitimate tie in there that can be proven.
Exactly, yeah. So anyway, I got discouraged. And of course, I was raising my kids, and I got discouraged, and people... Well, a lot of people can't take ridicule, and I do. I am not one of those people, because otherwise I wouldn't be doing what I do, because I'm ridiculed on a very frequent basis. Anyway,
you know how you put a stop to that, Deanna?
Yeah.
You start promoting my stuff, and
they
won't
which
touch
I have
you
done.
With a 10-foot pole.
Which I have done, yes. I love your book. I just love your book.
Thank you.
But anyway, I tried to talk to people and tried to talk to them about abortion, and even people who were pro-life just didn't recognize what a horrific, terrible thing that this would end up leading to. I mean, what, 58 million people, infants in this country, in the United States alone,
it's a travesty. It's a mass murder, blood sacrifice, satanic travesty that they put us and the world through, and we continue to go through. And it doesn't just break your heart. It makes you just sick to your damn stomach.
Exactly. And anyway, I work for the Perot campaign, and I'm thinking, and then he made most of his money through government contracts.
Of course.
Who knew that when I thought, oh, we have an alternative. Oh my goodness, my goodness. And then I fell for it again, Ron Paul. Ron Paul. Yeah, I fell for it. I thought, oh yes, we have an alternative. Well, my gosh, you'd think I'd learn the first time that this was not going to happen. That there's never going to be an alternative that people can actually vote for. I mean, the people who are candidates are a bunch of psychopaths. But anyway, so I got a divorce in 1988, and
that's always a cakewalk, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And here I had this big mortgage, and my former husband was no financial assistance at all. And so anyway, I was working, and I managed the mortgage. I managed everything. I managed I managed very well, actually. I probably did better than he did. and I had a Mercedes, and I mean, I was doing good. Anyway, I then wrote a couple of quilt books and some other things. I did a pattern line because it was what I was associated with at the time. I was representing a lot of textile companies, which are controlled by the tribe. And I worked for several, I think I had seven different lines at one time, and I was a commission only. And most of the textile industry is controlled by the Jews. And I learned a lot about those people because when I was growing up, oh, I believed in the Holocaust. Oh my gosh, the empathy that I had for the chosen people. I even tried to teach myself Hebrew. I was just so
diligent.
Oh, those poor people. I wrote when I was in college, which I did after I got married. I wrote an article that I submitted to one of the New York magazines. It was published in the college journal. I mean, it was about one person who was on a train. She was pregnant, and you know, she was on the train going to Auschwitz, to the gas chambers. Yet, and anyway, it was then. So then I, as I mentioned, I did a lot of quilting. I did a lot of stuff, a lot of right brain kinds of things. I was featured in some French hand sewing magazines, and so I have a background that anybody can look at, and if one goes to my website, spingola.com, they can click on background, Deanna's background, to find that I didn't just pop out of nowhere, but I have had a web presence and a presence. So nobody's paying me. I'm not an agent, despite what people might say. I don't work for the CIA. I don't work for anybody. I just work for myself.
You work for truth.
I work for the truth, exactly. And I might have different opinions about numerous things, but they're my opinions based on my research. I'm not just, disseminating a bunch of nonsense. I'm a researcher.
You've hit a very important point for people to differentiate. Well, that's what we try and do, is differentiate on this program, because you got to do it with your thinking to understand what's going on. And the point is, some people have opinions, and you get into these discussions we were alluding to earlier. And, well, I'm welcome to my opinion. I go, yeah, you sure are, and the moon can be made out of blue cheese, too. Would you like to have some of it on a cracker right here, all right? I don't have opinions. I have conclusions that are based on years and thousands of hours of research, of historical and legal facts. Those are the things I'm espousing here, not opinions. So just exactly. So you understand, there's a difference.
Absolutely a huge difference. And some people do not know how to conduct research. They do not have the first clue. They just watch a few videos on YouTube and, they form an opinion, which they never go any further.
The worst?
Yes.
They don't even watch the videos on YouTube. They don't want to go to the internet because there's, that came off the internet. That's what this attorney had that attitude of. And he'd sit there and watch CNN all day. And we had the legal discussions where I'm pretty good at sitting down and discussing this stuff, especially with attorneys, okay? But the Holocaust came up at one point, and I said, no, man, that's a whole lie, too. And it was like somebody hit him in the face with a wet fish, man. I mean, he was getting hit with every angle of this at one time in kind of a credible situation that he couldn't really wiggle out of, you know? So
sure.
We got a situation we can't wiggle out of either, and that is a break, Deanna. Remember telling you about
the
faint music? I mean, it's real faint. Yeah, I think Deanna and I are going to be back here in just a second. We're going to explore this, and there's just no telling where today's discussion is going to go, but it's going to be real interesting. See you in a minute. The way the stock market and gold and silver going, that one silver dollar might get you far there, cowboy. Here we go back at the radio ranch. Speaking of cowboys, Deanna Spingola, my guest today. I'm real glad to have Deanna on always. And we were going to launch off. We're kind of talking about our enemy in general. I say our enemy, our traditional enemy, because you can go back historically and see this battle's been going on since the beginning of time. Deanna, this battle that we're in synthesizes down to one simple statement. It's the battle between Lex Rex, or the law of the king, and the common law. And it's been going on since the beginnings of time, and it rages today. We're about to go into what I think many of us see as a literal, biblical, historical situation that we're all going to live through, or some of us anyway. And hopefully all of us, especially we got a better shot from those who are aware of making it through it rather than the other folks that we're talking about here that are automatons of the system. Would that be a good way to put it, Deanna?
Yes, I think so. I like the pod people.
Yeah, I do too. It's real simple.
Yeah, I think one more thing I've learned from, one more term I've learned from you.
Well,
pod people. That's terrific.
Well, you know, over the years, we've had to laugh about this and trying to talk about it because it's such a stark reality situation and opposite of everything that we're used to in the way we've been reared and raised and conditioned, probably a better word. And so you got to pull a little humor out of there wherever you can. What Deanna and I have both come away from years of our own individual drives and accomplishments with is a general knowledge of these people I refer to as our traditional enemies. I try not to too much lump them in under the total Jewish label because that's one of their defenses is they've taken this radical political movement called Zionism which is based on all of this ancient knowledge and secrets and deception techniques and whatnot, and incorporated it in under Zionism. And then when you try and blame them for things that are going on, they use a great Jewish tactic, though, one that's in their ethnic strain for from time immemorial, I guess, Deanna, which is Jewish guilt. And they come and try and use Jewish guilt as a offensive defensive tool, and they go over and hide under the religious label of Judaism, when in actuality they're atheists and agnostics and Satanists. So I try and separate them out, and for the newer listener, that's why we've labeled them here, so that they can't go run and hide. And that label that we use quite frequently is Pharisite. Because
yes, that's another term I like.
They're the Pharisees, and they're parasites, and so we've kind of nicknamed them the modern-day Pharisites as opposed to the old-day Pharisees that Jesus fought, even though they're doing the same thing with the same tools, basically. A lot more sophistication these days, though.
Right. Somehow, the two words Jewish guilt don't go together. I don't think they feel guilty about anything.
No, I say that because it's the tradition in their ethnic.
Right. But yeah, I understood.
Jewish mothers shame their children with guilt.
Oh, yes, they do, don't they?
Okay, and they've just taken that concept and applied it universally.
Yeah.
Evidence in point. Yesterday in Miami Beach, I saw the story. Wait a minute, I've got it right here. It's still open on my browser. Yesterday in Miami Beach, there was a little ceremony. Well, I took it off. Where they commemorated they have some name for it, and it meant the survivors of the Holocaust, and they had a big ceremony there on the beach, and a number of people, a couple hundred, showed up. And
only a couple hundred, not millions?
No, I think it was only a couple hundred. It must have been some sort of a real...
They didn't advertise it very well, did they?
No, they
didn't. I'm surprised that, you know, 6-7 million people...
Well, they didn't get free plane tickets down there.
And they didn't get any reparations. Yeah. Oh, okay. That explains all the things.
I mean, you know, there's always an explanation for this. And so, but the important point was they were still commemorating the 6 million dead, even though the official count has been lowered to even 1 million or 2 million or whatever fact.
Right. So I guess people run out. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, I was going to say whatever fictitious number they want to pin on it. But sure. Yeah, to keep them, the important thing is to keep the illusion alive, see? And
right.
So any of those things called facts don't make any difference. You know, have you ever had any of the famous Jewish wine, Deanna?
I don't drink wine.
No.
The only time I ever use wine is when I make up one of my healthy potions.
Well, you're ruining one of my lines here, Deanna.
Oh, okay.
You're supposed to be a good straight man over there.
Okay.
Well, what is that? Right? So, yeah, so I answer, when are we going to Miami?
Oh, yes. Sorry about that.
Sorry, it's just an old joke. But, yeah, the point being is even as recent as yesterday, the hoax is still, because I call it the whole hoax, is still being portrayed as this original stuff. And it's just more of the characteristics of our enemy and how they do things and how they've created this simulation that, unfortunately, a high percentage of the people are still under the effects of.
Oh, absolutely. I have had people who have... as soon as they found out that I didn't accept the Holocaust as reality, they have, stopped being a guest on my program. People who were regularly on my program, I know that's what it is, because all of a sudden when they cancel an hour before and they never talk to you ever again or never email you again, you can kind of tell that that's the reason.
It's interesting. I've had a couple of backlashes along the way from radio programs I've been on because of sponsors, okay? And I come back and say, you can't say the word Jew because our sponsor got calls. And I said, well, who did they get calls from, the ADL or the sodomy pedophile larceny center, you know, or some of these other people that are deceived? Do you care about mammon or do you care about truth? And isn't that what it comes down to?
Sure. Somebody, a New York lawyer, called John Stadtmiller at RBN. Oh, this has been, excuse me, in 2011, and said that they were going to sue RBN because I had used, for 3 weeks, I had used, or no, what, it probably wasn't even 3 weeks. It was probably, I don't know, 10 days. I had used a song that was readily available online. It was Peace Train, and it was an instrumental. It wasn't, excuse me, excuse me.
Deanna, you need a drink of water?
No, I have allergies. I need to.
Springtime. It's springtime. I forget. It's fall here.
Well, no, I have allergies to dust and that kind of thing. But anyway, so this New York lawyer went after RBN and said that they had the copyright for that song. They were going to sue RBN. I got an email saying the same thing. And I'm thinking, well, gosh, that's horrible. What's going on? It turned out that it was the very same week that I had, it was Get Off Your Knees, Germany week. And I was talking about the Holocaust, I was talking about Ernst Sundel, I was talking about all of those things. And all of my guests for that week were associated with Ernst Sundel and with, with the truth. And so it wasn't the song that was so offensive. It was the content of my programs. So RBN had to take those programs off the air. About a month of programs.
Wow. Well, you know, that's a very interesting thing. They sure won't touch me. I bait them in. I beg them to, you know, put me on their little lists and stuff, and they won't touch us with a 10-foot pole. Deanna, let's try something here. I told you this might happen. My dear old friend in Ecuador, Journeyman Jack, who's on the show occasionally, is helping with relief down there in that emergency after the earthquakes, plural, they've had. And he's got connection to a Skype connection right now. And I wanted to bring him on for a couple of minutes and give us an update, if that's okay. All right, well, let's bring him in and see if how our connection is. And if the connection's not good, we won't be able to carry on. But let's see if we can pick him up, if he'll pick up here. Come on, Jack. Come on in, Jack. We got him there. Jack, how are you, buddy?
Pretty good. How are you guys?
Good. Thank you. I think your fidelity sounds real good. I don't know how long we can keep you. I just wanted to get you in when you had some connection, to tell us, what's been happening down there in Ecuador with you and give the audience a little background, if you would.
Well, on, Saturday, 16th of April, 2 weeks and 2 days ago, we had a 7.8 magnitude earthquake on the coast of Ecuador, northwest coast, and it rocked the entire country, southern Colombia, northern Peru. It was felt throughout the region. And we've got a death toll from government numbers of about 675 right now. As of this past Wednesday, they no longer are pulling bodies from the rubble. They're just taking huge excavators and putting it on the dump trucks, take it to the landfill and hermetically seal it off for disease purposes. And of course that has the families outraged. It can't be helped though.
Well, you're down on the coast now. Are you still down there where the epicenter, close to the epicenter and the main damage?
Yes. It took me 48 hours to gut check reality, pack up supplies, and I had clients coming in Monday night that had paid 90 days in advance, and they needed a move-in transport with multiple bags to Cuenca. So I was 10 hours to Cuenca. Tuesday morning, we checked out and went to Cuenca. Tuesday night, I spent the night with friends that kind of coached me and had worked in this type of work before. Henry Noel, he was a long time in the Air Force. But then I went on over to the Cajas, a mountain pass from down there going west, 13,000 foot, and coming into Guayaquil, where I got supplies and provisions from another longtime friend that does what I do at the Quito International Airport. He does it at Guayaquil International Airport, Jorge Lopez. He grew up in Boston, Mass. For 25 years, and he's been back here 25 years. We're about the same age, and we're the dynamic duo. But Guayaquil's 3 million metropolitan, 5 million metro, 3 million citywide, and they got three big five-lane bridge overpasses, like Savannah, you know, or Port City. They have three big bridges that got collapsed, big, huge columns. So the traffic was just horrible, way horrible, more than normal. It's never good there, but it's really bad as I roll in 3 days after the quake. And then the next morning, Thursday, 21 April, I left Jorge's bed and breakfast and headed to the coast. And I've been here solid on the ground. I am 30 kilometers south of Bahia. Bahia is a population of about 20,000, and it is 70% destroyed and had lots of expats in that town. I'm just north of Manta, about a population of 200,000, and it is about 40-50% destroyed. Now, I'm talking about 6, 8, 10-story buildings pancaked, collapsed, with people in it at 6:58 p.m.
It was at 6:58 when the first big event happened.
It killed a bunch of people right away. It just, yes, yes.
All right, Jack, so you're helping expats down there. You're helping with emergency supplies and stuff and just trying to help where you can with people. Is internet connections real spotty, of course?
Yes, it's taken me this long to actually urge you to let me get on and not be, you know, molested with up and down, up and down. Power failures are once or twice a week. Even in this 30 clicks out of the war zone, it's still not stable. But it's getting better, and I wanted to get a call in.
Are you on a sat phone right now?
No, no. I'm working off of Wi-Fi, off of just a regular laptop, and but I was still worried that you may not have good sound quality.
Okay, so anything that you'd like to tell the country or the world about the last 10 days or so you've had?
Well, essentially, back at the previous Super Bowl of 2015, our government spent $3.9 million for a 30-second ad that goes like this: all you need is Ecuador. And all you need is Ecuador. Do not cancel your travel or vacation plans. All you need is Ecuador, and all Ecuador needs is you to come on through with your travel plans and your relocation plans. This is one province on the coast out of four. This is about 300-400 kilometers of damage out of another 1,000 that's freed up, and needs your tourism business, needs your restaurants and hotels, needs your business, and it's really hurting Ecuador. And these death count numbers probably are not accurate, you know. For international business and relations and loans and investments and for tourism.
Well, man, it's just a shame. And they've had one main event there, and then they've had like three or four pretty severe sixes or fives, right, in aftershocks?
Absolutely. We've had over 100 severe aftershocks, which you got the rescue workers in there, and they got to get back out if they can get out. It's just been horrible. Also, these expats are in their 60s and 70s, and they're living in an air-conditioned condo on the 8th floor or 10th floor. And then they got to evacuate their building, and they got to evacuate the town and go live in the mangroves, in the cloud forest, on a farm with mosquitoes and humidity and heat. And that's where I'm focusing mostly, because I've moved most of them down here. I know where they're at or where they last were. And then I got to go out in the countryside and find these refugee camps and tent cities and tiki huts and hammocks and get them to some new rental, a new lodging, and get them back out of the elements.
Well, Jack, I think you got your hands full up there, buddy. I say up there, down there for most of our listeners. Well, I'm going to let you get back to it. I thank you for taking the time to check in with us. Anything else you can think of that you need to add?
No, just keep us in your thoughts and prayers, and any kind of help somebody can send my way, we'll be gladly appreciated. I've been here essentially close to 2 weeks getting here, and I will remain on as long as I can.
Your people can get you through journeymanjack.com on the internet, right?
Yes, and directly to my email, journeymanjack.com@gmail.com. And I really appreciate you letting me get on for a minute, Roger.
Okay, Jack, we really appreciate the update. You take care, old friend, okay?
Thank you. We'll talk soon.
Okay, ciao, ciao, buddy. Godspeed.
Thank you.
Okay, sorry, Deanna. I wanted to get that in. We don't get too much opportunity for him to get a clear signal and give us update reports there from that tragedy up there in Ecuador. So thank you for letting me insert that.
I have two words. Weather warfare.
I can't dispute anything you're saying.
And it's worldwide now. I mean, they talked about this in Congress at one point.
Yep.
And said, you know, I mean, they agreed to engage in that kind of thing. But now it's worldwide. I mean, when you look at the world and see where earthquakes have occurred, I mean, they can occur in one area that's just adjacent another area that will remain unscathed.
I've got a real high sensitivity to this issue, and that's one of the reasons I'm so sympathetic to what's going on with Jack and those people up there, because when I was a kid, my daddy was an Air Force officer, and we were stationed in Anchorage, Alaska in 1964 in the Good Friday quake. I went through that as a sophomore in high school, I think. And that was even, it's been recalibrated since. It's now the second, depending on whose list you look at, it's the second or third most powerful earthquake ever recorded. And so I lived through that, and I remember it like it was yesterday in many instances and memories. And so I'm particularly sympathetic to what Jack is doing and what those folks up there have been through. Now, being the case, I've always, my entire life, had a real interest in that sort of thing. And so I kind of have kept up with it most of my life in some respect. And I can tell you what, with all of these earthquakes happening all over that ring of fire, the west coast of the U.S. has got one or two fault lines, three, I think, that are real subject to another large quake. And then you've got Yellowstone sitting off to the east, which is having a lot of activity recently, too, which is almost catastrophic in scope. So you got a lot of things that are of great interest to all of us in these areas, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to bring it to the table when I had a chance here today, Deanna.
Exactly. Well, I grew up in California, and we were all very aware of the San Francisco earthquake. And,
sure.
And I had ancestors that had visited San Francisco and then went back up to Washington they got out just in time. And I think that California is in a very vulnerable situation. I still have relatives there and friends, and I worry about that.
Well, it's not only California. There's another huge, what they call a subluxation fault, off the coast of Washington. The fault lines are, of course, two separations of different types of plates of the Earth, if you want to put it like that, tectonic plates. And they do one of two things. They either are equal in where they meet and they slip laterally, or else one of them is goes underneath the other one vertically. And
right.
And those are called subluxation, I think they call them. And that's the one that's off Washington State, a couple hundred miles maybe. And then the San Andreas Fault down there in Southern California, for example, is the opposite. It's one of the ones that slips laterally. So you got a high danger zone and a high danger area. On top of everything else, Deanna, you got to be concerned about stuff like that. Let me bring something to the table because I want you to talk about it and consider it a bit. What they've done is they've figured out a way to weaponize everything.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Yes.
I mean, whether it's vaccines, whether it's the weather, whether it's chemtrails, whether it's inserting different kind of weird genes into other genes of plants or what. I mean, they've weaponized everything. Silent weapons for quiet wars.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. And, of course, they've one of the commercials over the break was the militarization of the United States police forces.
Yep.
And, I mean, that's very obvious to most of us who are awake that this is what is going on.
Well, militarized, and how do they militarize them? They take the key people of each police department over and they send them through a couple of weeks training over there in Satan's sandbox.
Right. Yep.
To the point where, is it the IDF? Or is it the Tel Aviv Police Department or something that has an office in New York City, an open office in New York City?
Oh, I'm sure. Of course. Yep. Well, they are a foreign agent in this country, and in more ways than one. I mean, certainly they should not have the influence that they do. The ADL, Mossad, I mean, they've been working together with the CIA for, since the inception of the CIA.
They probably helped the truth be known, conceive the CIA and bring it into fruition. And I read a quote from Harry Truman after in his retirement and said, if I'd ever known what this bunch was going to, I'm paraphrasing here, if I'd ever known what this bunch was going to turn into and do, I'd have never signed that bill.
Oh, sure. I'm sure he wouldn't have signed it. He's a Freemason, top Freemason. You know, when you get near death or you retire, you can say all kinds of things. Oh, gosh, I surely wish I hadn't done that. Well, you know what? You did it. You were in the position where you could do it, and you and only you were in that position. So I'm sorry. I don't buy into Harry Truman's...
Well, there's another way to look at that, Deanna. There's an old saying that says there ain't no atheists in a foxhole.
Right.
Okay, we got a little music. Deanna Spingola, my special guest today. And Roger Sales right back after this.
Population keeps on bleeding. Nation bleeding. Still more bleeding. Funny, skies are sunny, bees make honey.
Oh, yeah. Okay, there we go back in a third segment on the Radio Ranch here on May the 2nd, celebration of Illuminati Day, official anyway, I guess. Deanna Spingola, my guest today, who I'm happy to have with us, maybe in more ways than one. Deanna, you've been a little under the weather. We're glad to see that you at least are still up to the battle and could make an appearance on the show today.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be here. And as far as Truman, I mean, he is the president that actually recognized Israel.
Yep.
Against all the against better advice. He is the one that that appointed Meyer as the first president of the World Bank. He was a Freemason. He did a lot of things, and this is akin to Eisenhower warning us about the military-industrial complex.
Right, right.
Which is, oh gosh, you know, when they're retiring or they're going out of office, they can say all kinds of things. Oh, I wish I hadn't done this, or, you know, you better be careful about this. When in fact, they're the ones that did it, that actually caused the problem. And, yeah, it's like the rhetoric of Hillary Clinton saying, oh, we're going to bring these jobs back and we're going to do this and we're going to do that, when it was her husband that implemented NAFTA.
Well, I'm going to tell you what, if I don't remember the guy's name that wrote The Wizard of Oz right off my head.
Oh, right. What was his name?
I don't know, but I'm going to tell you what. I know that he had Hillary Clinton in mind when he wrote The Wicked Witch of the West.
Oh, indeed. Yes. Wizard of Oz.
Let me tell you, have you ever heard this? I've heard it several times on David Duke videos. And this came out of a book, an autobiography by the guy that was Truman's vice president. And I'm pretty sure it was when he was signing some bill, and I think it might have been when they recognized Israel, okay, but I can't say for sure. But he was signing something official, and this was in his vice president's book, who quoted him in that incident. Have you ever heard that statement?
No, I don't know whether I have or not, but it was L. Frank Baum, B-A-U-M.
B-A-U-M, okay, Baum, that's right. Truman's vice president said, Truman muttered as he's signing this some big declaration, he said, Jesus Christ couldn't satisfy him when he was on earth. I don't know how you expect me to.
Wow. Yes. Yes.
So, you know, like I said, sometimes you just got to laugh at this stuff. We've got
sure.
A very formidable enemy. It's an interesting situation that they have put themselves in a box into because they pressed the envelope so bad and they made one real big miscalculation, Deanna, and that was the Internet.
Oh, indeed. They sure did because although I do believe, of course, that it's that it is controlled in many instances. I believe that there are a lot of, in the alternative media, I believe that it's been infiltrated. The Internet's been great.
Well, they don't have any way to control it other than to try and dilute it. So they try and put enough false leads in there, and then they discredit it. And that's what I saw in a stark example with this attorney that I referred to earlier. I just spent 3 weeks around down there in Buenos Aires. Really sharp guy, okay? And but man, it was like, oh, you can't came from the Internet. That came from the Internet. Well, so he's listening to them discrediting the Internet while they're telling him all the rest of these lies that support this false, illusionary life. And, you know, we'd have this situation. He said, well, I'm free. Look at me right here. I'm free. I can go anywhere in the world and all that. And, yes, in that sense, thinking linearly, if you will, that's correct. But thinking conceptually, you're not. Because you're taxed anywhere you go in the world. And
right.
The only reason they can do that is if they own you.
Exactly, yes.
That's the only way that unless you voluntarily pay that tax, and we're not talking about any amounts, percentages have no bearing in what I'm going to say here. When you're talking about somebody that can come and extract the fruits of your labor, it doesn't matter what the percentage is. You're in bondage. Now,
that's absolutely
up a way where they've got it set up that way, and still it's legally voluntary, but they've rigged the game just like they do with all the other little games that the Pharisees, the leaven of the Pharisees, Deanna.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're dealing with here, the leaven of the Pharisees. And I never understood that phrase in my entire lifetime until the last 6 months.
Wow. Really? Yes. Well, it's that is what it is, certainly.
I mean,
and of course, they talk about usury all the time in the New Testament.
Well, you know, it's everything they do is leavening. They take something and they build all this pile of lies on top of it. Okay.
Right.
If you want to take a financial example, they take something of value and then they collateralize it. And then they
take
a whole bunch of different paper that's using that as the collateral. And then they take another whole bunch of paper and do it using the other paper as the collateral with this other collateral that backs it up eventually. And then they do it again and again and make it bigger and bigger. It's just like adding yeast to dough and making stuff rise. It's the exact description of what they're doing.
Yes. Yep. And anyone that's made bread can really, really compare that to what you're saying.
Because well, it's funny how it could be so simply stated and yet so depth
misunderstood
in taking it to understand it, see?
Yes.
So, you know, those are the differences in what we call on the program, you know, fine-tuning your thinking. And that's what we try and do with all this information, the stark reality of the truth, and then allow you to see how they're using these two levels. They're using a linear level, and then they're piling on top of it that you're being guided into and conditioned to, and then they come back and they're living in a big conceptual level where all these things are opposite. And then they turn and control you with them. That's basically what's going on that I've been able to understand.
Sure. And of course, they say it's all for our own good. After all, we pay taxes so that we can have fire protection, so that we can have all of these amenities, and we have to pay for those, right? And, oh, these vaccines are for your own good. They will keep you disease-free. Or big pharma drugs. These are for your own good. Don't worry about the side effects. We expect that that these will help you.
I was trying to add the phones in because I was going to open up the phones if anybody wanted to talk to either one of us. I don't know why they'd want to, but somebody might. And
I'm sure. Well, of course they would want to talk to us.
I can't get the thing to pick up in either way. So they must have some snafu at hook up today. I'm going to continue to see if I can get it to kick in, but I wasn't successful over the break. So it may just be you and me here, Deanna, talking to each other, these two uninteresting people that have nothing to bring to the table.
Speak for yourself, Roger.
Well, okay, I often do. What have you stumbled into lately that has kind of, because we have aha moments in this. You know, at least I do. You go along and it's something you've known for a long time, but all of a minute it comes into a different perspective and you have this aha moment. You go, oh, that's where that fits in, or that's what that was for, or that's what that does. Have you had any of those lately?
No, not since I finished my most recent book. I take that back. I think that I attempt to have an aha moment every day because I learn something new every single day and from my own experiences. And sometimes we make decisions based on fear, which I have done recently. And then you have to work through and see, okay, how could I have handled this differently? How could I have prevented this situation? It's just interesting how we learn. And that's what we're here for, is to learn and to, we're here for experience. We're here for, for something.
You've touched on something that's real important to me, and I've analyzed it a lot over the years and come to some pretty interesting conclusions, and that is what you're talking about, that and that learning process.
Mm-hmm.
That's that thing they call wisdom.
Right.
And the wisdom is that, yes, either this was beneficial to me, or no, it was very painful to me, and either, yes, I'm going to repeat the behavior, or no, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so that's how you learn not to make the same mistake twice, and that really is kind of what wisdom is to me.
Right.
And I came to the conclusion that, see if this is profound to you, Deanna. Wisdom is the only thing that's worth losing your youth for.
How true. I wish that I knew back when I first got married the things that I know now. The changes that I, the things
I've Welcome to Turbo Bridge.
Uh-oh.
Please enter your conference ID and press the pound key.
I think that Chris Geo is evidently listening. Thank you, Chris. He's going to reset the phones.
I was just
trying it again, and I've never heard that little announcement, so I'm sorry, and I don't know what it is. We'll try again in a minute. Continue
right.
with what you're saying, if you can remember where you were, Deanna.
Sure. I think all of us that have come to realize what is going on, we all can look back and say, gosh, I wish I hadn't done this. I wish I hadn't vaccinated my kids. I wish I hadn't done a lot of things. I mean, we've all been victims of allopathic medicine. Now during one of the breaks, they were talking about, how many people died as a result of terrorism and how many people, were victims of police brutality. But one of the biggest victim groups in the United States are people who, acquiesce to allopathic medicine, because 880,000 people a year die because of their interaction with allopathic medicine. Now that's a lot of people, 880,000 people. And yet when we come up against a situation, we react in fear because that is how we are brainwashed, indoctrinated, that we do things out of fear of what happens if we don't take a particular move or make a particular decision. And I found myself in this situation just recently where I didn't think I had a choice, and I went to the emergency room, and it's a good thing that I did. Because I was severely dehydrated, which can lead to kidney failure. So I did that. And what I should have done and what I could have done, I've rejected allopathic prescriptions and that kind of thing, and have pretty much said, well, I'm never going to be a victim of allopathic medicine. But then when you think that, when you see no other choice, then you cave in. And anyway, I went to the emergency room, and I hate to be personal, but back in 2011, I was diagnosed with diverticulitis. And so I made some dietary changes and that kind of thing. And diverticulitis is brought up, it's an infection of the colon. And anyway, I was very, very, very sick. I was throwing up, and I hate to be so personal, but I was in a very bad situation. And so I thought, gosh, I am really, really sick. So my husband called 911, and fire department got here, and I barely remember what occurred after that. But anyway, I went to the emergency room. Now, I was diagnosed with diverticulitis in the very, very same hospital that I went to. They should have looked at my diagnoses, and they should have said, oh, okay, we need to give her some, we need to rehydrate her, and then we need to send her home with a liquid diet or something like that. But that's not what happened. I was admitted. And I rejected a couple of the tests that they wanted to do. And I was there for 5 days. And then I went home. And what they wanted to do was to give me, what they want to do is they want to address the symptoms. They want to give you something that will only take care of the symptoms. They don't want to get after the real problem and provide a cure. In fact, allopathic doctors never use the word cure. So anyway, I should have gotten out in 8 hours, but instead I was there for, well, several days, 5 days.
No, they like to use the word treat.
Treat, absolutely.
Okay. And it's another example of the different splits. They come and treat the symptoms, which is a linear reaction and approach, instead of conceptually treating the cause.
Right. And you know, it's interesting because what they said, what the ER doctor said, and you know, they talk about digital records. Oh, if we have digital records, we can access your records. We know what's wrong with you. We know what you're allergic to and all these other things. Well, even on Wikipedia, it says that when you have diverticulitis, that your white blood cell count is going to be extremely high. So the ER doctor said, oh, we're going to have to keep you because your white blood count is really through the roof. And who knew? I mean, so I get admitted and I'm on IVs, and but what they tell you, the purpose for digital records, they're not really following what they have created in order to help you. They are there to help themselves. They are there to make money. Now, ER doctors are committed to putting you in the hospital. They're not committed to sending you home and say, hey, go home, have some chicken soup, you'll be better in the morning. They are there to get hospital admissions. And I was afraid. And I did need to be there to rehydrate, but I didn't really need to be there as a patient. And 10 days later, it happened again. I was dehydrated. I was going at both ends, sick as a dog. But this time, if it ever happens again, I have a plan. And you'll always have to have a plan.
Good to have a backup plan and then a backup plan behind that one.
Exactly. And so anyway, I'm recovering from being a patient.
Well, I'm recovering from being a slave. And I think some of others out there are in some phase of that process. We had another process that we've accomplished, though, and that was turning on the phones. Thank you, Chris G. So let me announce the number, because I was chastised by one of our Eurofolk radio people one day, or somebody listening, saying, you didn't give out the number. 866-37-TRUTH. So if you want to ask a question, make a comment, just say hey to Deanna, hope you get to feeling better. 866-37-TRUTH is the way that you can accomplish that. Otherwise, Deanna, we're glad that you are of a mental and physical state where you could join us today, because I've been thinking about you. You know, you crossed my mind, and I need to get a hold of Deanna and get her back on the air, and I did, and you said I've been sick, and so we set today. So we're glad that that you, even in the midst of not being recovered, could join us.
I'm glad, too, because about the same time that you were thinking about having me on your program, I was thinking, I've got to have Roger back on my program.
Well, it'll be a joy. Just let me know when you would like to do that, and we'll set it up and get it done.
Sure.
I want to see if this exactly what you're talking about is another evidence, and we can go back as we like to try and do, and take the things that we're discussing and tack them back to the basis of the system. What they're really doing is they've got the herd out there. They've turned everybody into these pieces of property, and then they've erected this system of these companies that they control. They're all interlocked in things that in all instances of necessities of life, and you get sick and they plug you in. The question I wanted to ask you, was this covered by insurance?
Yes, and of course the hospital probably made a lot of money, and you know, people have to take responsibility for their own health. Now, back in 2013, I purchased a book that covers all of these problems. Had I read that book thoroughly, and had I taken notes, I wouldn't have been in the situation that I was in. But you know, you get stressed out, and this goes back to the fall of 2015. When you focus too much on other things, then sometimes you let your health go. You don't pay enough attention to your body. And one of the very first things that people need to do is to love themselves enough to take care of themselves. You cannot love others unless you love yourself first. And part of loving yourself is taking care of yourself. So, and I was stressed. I was too busy doing other things to just did not take the concern that I needed to take.
You got to sit back and take a little rest along the way. That's the stage of life I'm in, and I've decided to do some of that. I don't do as much of it as I probably should. Listen, I put the clarion call out, and two of our radio ranchers showed right up, and one of them, I believe, is our buddy Doug from up around Fayetteville, Arkansas, and I think we got Shane from out in the Silicon Valley area that has joined us. Am I correct in those assessments?
Absolutely.
I thought so. I suspicioned it was you two guys. We're about to hit a break here in a second, but if one of you jump in there, if you got a quick piece to say, you can say it in less than 2 minutes and get it off your chest.
Yes, okay. I have a question. Well, awkward. I have a question for Deanna. Deanna, I wish you well. I wish you much better health for you in the future. I have a question, though. And then this was in regards to a lark in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I heard, I think, the first one, but then after that, I believe someone scrubbed that particular, clip from your from your settings or your history. So I try listening to him.
Archives is the word you want. Shane.
Right.
Yeah.
It should be in all of my programs are in the archives, and the archives are at RBN, and if not at RBN, then SpingolaSpeaks.net.
Okay. And one more question is: are you a U.S. citizen or U.S. national?
I'm a citizen.
Well, there you go. Obvious. Well, you know, and we never beat people to do this. It's a personal decision. Deanna said she'd enjoyed my book, so I assume you've read it. And,
yes.
You know, that's a situation that everybody has to approach in their own circumstances. I've never in 5 years ever told anybody to do this, okay, because I realize that's not my place. Because
sure.
What is really happening is if you do this process, and Shane has just recently undergone it and got his passport back last week, and he's got a very unique set of circumstances, Deanna, that you're moving over under God's laws, and that's your decision, not mine.
Right, and it's something that I'm going to do.
Oh, good. Well, that's nice.
Yes.
There. Well, I'll tell you, I make you this public invitation. If you got any questions or whatever else, you let me know, and we'll bring you back on the air and go over them for the whole audience. How about that?
Okay. Yes, because I mean, all of us have been indoctrinated. Oh, yes, we've got to be a citizen. And so when I got my first passport, well, of course, I said I was a citizen. You know, we're all supposed to be proud that we're citizens.
Well, there's your dialectic. Now, what it fits is the citizens of what? What it fits is the Goethe saying that there are none so helplessly enslaved as those who falsely believe they're free. Or
exactly.
Talk shows that have a hard break coming up. We'll be right back.
You take one part good old and two parts cat. Run them through your computer.
Well, I guess that's what some people kind of say anyway. I let my bumpers go pretty good. He ain't. And we'll let them do the verdict on innocent or not. Here we go, Four Segment Radio Ranch is the 2nd of May, Monday. I've got Deanna Spingola on as a special guest today, and we've got our friend Doug from Fayetteville, Arkansas, and Shane from the Silicon Valley area on the line with us. Welcome back. I caught Deanna filing her fingernails there earlier during the break, and she was probably knitting a little quilt on the side and writing a
book. No, I don't do quilts anymore.
And having a radio program and going to the emergency room just to say hey, because she's become such good friends with those people over there. So obviously this girl doesn't have any stress in her life.
You know, let me say one thing about being a hospital patient. During the break, my husband came in and he was telling me that the guy down the street who is pharmaceutical rep, his father just passed away on March 10th. And he said, you know, the hospital did all kinds of things to my dad that they really didn't need to do. So I just want to say that if you find yourself in the hospital as a patient, you may reject anything that they want to do to you. I would not let them give me any antibiotics. I would not let them do a lot of things that they wanted to do. And you can say, no, I'm not going to take that shot, or no, I don't want that test, or no, I don't want anything in the IV except, saline solution. You have a right. You can refuse. And most people do not know that they can refuse whatever the doctors or the nurses want to do.
Well, most people don't know they can refuse the slave citizenship that they've been born into either. And, of course, that's
exactly.
The basis of this program. Shane, you said on the break to me you had one question for me, and then Doug is sitting there just drooling at the mouth to get on here, I'm sure, and I want to hear what he's got to say. Shane, what's your one question, amigo?
Yes, my question would be why, for example, I can have the passport which I received after doing a lot of paperwork and necessary. Why does it say a U.S. citizen and a U.S. national?
Well, because those are the two statuses. You got to remember that let's go back to the big general concepts here. You only get your rights from two places. One is from God and the other is from man. This is what I was alluding to earlier, Deanna, the fight that's been going on since, as Cicero put it in one of his quotes, since before the founding of the suns. Now, that's a pretty good time back, all right? And you only get your rights from man or from God. It's either lex rex or the common law. That's the battle we're in right now, and those are those two statuses. The U.S. citizen is the one that's lex rex. It's under the 14th Amendment and it's hold the skies that we talk about so intricately here on this program. and the other is the set of laws that our country was originally founded under that are illuminated in the Declaration of Independence and all the other documents. Nature and nature's gods, common law, and of course we have Brent Winters on Fridays, an expert in that. So those are the two statuses, Shane, and it's the same old thing, and there ain't nothing new under the sun.
Amen.
So, Doug, how you doing, brother?
Yeah. Hey, I'm living and alive and well here in Northwest Arkansas, and I want to just say to Deanna, I love you, you know, as a female that's standing up for the same things our white race stands up for. I don't know if you're white or not, but that's going back to the
I'm really white. I have blonde hair and blue eyes. I'm about as white as you can get.
Well, that means that as a lily of the field, you know, that speaks volumes right there. But I tried to call in to your show there when you were saying there were problems calling in, Roger, and it wanted an access, you know. I got the number and it said, please press in whatever it was, you know, this numbered fixture. And I went, like, I've called in here before and that's never been
The master program wants to know. No, there was some snap.
No, it was,
you know, this whole thing's computer.
Well, they were putting up. Whoever it was putting up a thing where you have to put in a direct code in to get into it. And then when you came back on and said, okay, it's back up, then it was no longer needed. But anyway, kudos and et cetera to Deanna. You know, I stand with you and give you honor for being the female part of our, you know, what we stand for, you know, male and female. We produce progeny that fights against evil. And in that line of thinking, I wrote something down here, and it's this. And this is my statement. Truth is like light, which dispels darkness, / lies, deceptions. Truth does this only when living men and women speak it and act out against it. And that's what we're always doing. That's what you're doing. That's when it becomes active. That's when it becomes a power. That's when it becomes, you know, this a power of a spiritual in the spiritual battle, okay? When we stand against it, regardless of the odds, regardless of the monolith and all this stuff that we see going on, if everyone listening to my voice that believes what I just said doesn't believe that we can't turn this around, then we've already failed. But if we believe that we can turn it around because light and truth is on our side, light dispels darkness and only takes one match, one little match to dispel a totally dark room. So if you don't believe that, then get out of it. Then don't presume and pretend that you're part of this fight. Just get out of it, okay? And don't confuse the issue between the men and women that actually are doing the fight.
Well, that's what they
truth, stand up for the truth, fight for the truth, and put your life on the line because that's what it takes.
Well, you know, Doug, you bring up a lot of really relevant points there, and the fact that they try and divide and conquer with all of these things, and then split us and weaken us, therefore. But the strength is, you know, I call this Deanna the group therapy session. And it's kind of what it's evolved into. And another one of our group that calls in recently is a guy from the northern eastern part of Alabama named Daryl, who's an aircraft guy, aviation guy. And I think he's joined us, and he's always got something cogent to add. Hey, Daryl.
Well, hi, Roger, and hi, Diane. I enjoyed listening to you on the RBN with Al Whitney and Angry Castle there on that in that same show there. So it's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Well, Roger, I hope I'm cogent and on point today. I just wanted to Doug said something, and I wrote this the other day, and it kind of goes along with what Doug was talking about. I'd like to state it here. I had these little mental thoughts when I'm working on my machines and stuff, you know, and some of my best ideas come to me, or at least I think they do. And it goes online with what Doug was saying. If you cannot engage in mental combat and a test of wills, how do you suppose you can engage in physical combat? Well, I'm not advocating physical combat by any means. Done that before. Don't recommend it. But it's the same mindset to engage these people in these issues mentally and spiritually. It is combat, and all the rules apply. Of course, isn't Doug our self-defense guy? He's our hand-to-hand guy, right?
I'm pretty sure that's the one.
Yeah. So, actually, I just had one quick comment that I initially wanted to call in about, and it goes back to what you guys were talking about at the beginning of the show, when you were making some references to our Pharisaic friends. And as I was going along in the show today listening to you, a word comes up. There's this word that keeps coming up in my mind as I listen to y'all. And the word of the day for me is paradox. We're engaged in this paradox, and with that, I'd like to have a little fun. Have you heard of the Jewish paradox, Roger?
No, well, no, but I'm dying to hear about it. What is it, Daryl?
It's a free ham sandwich.
Oh, gosh. That is funny.
That's pretty good, man.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Well, what's interesting? hey, let me comment on this from my background. Free hands is actually a martial art. Okay, free hands is actually a term used in martial arts, in the Tibetan martial arts, called free hands. And what it is where you're touching. You're not. You're touching one another, and the touching is rather light, but it's an exercise which can be used lethally, but it's an exercise that you can practice every day for hours a day with another person, and where actually what you're doing during that is training all of your everything from your toes through your feet, up through your lower legs, up to your upper legs, and all the way up. It's called free hands. And it's interesting that you mention that, because when you become adept at this training in a physical fight, the opponent is most people, 99.9% of the people that would ever come against you are totally, they're like paneling a piece of paper. It doesn't matter what their weight is. It doesn't matter what their size is. And so when you mention that term, that's interesting to me. But I'll just reiterate this and then get off the line, that what I'm saying is that It's a decision that one makes. It's light versus darkness. Okay? It's truth versus lies. And once you have to choose a side. You have to. And then once you choose that side, then all of your life, you are willing to, sacrifice if needed, to fight against the darkness, against the lies, and in physical confrontations, once you're trained, or not trained, but once you enter into that, you just, as a bully comes up against someone and wants to take their money or whatever, that person, whatever their size is or the possibility of success is in that fight, you decide you're not going to give in. You just won't, because you're fighting against evil, and this happens day in and day out, and that's what I represent and what I represent and teach and train in. No. And so it's just, you just say no. That's the epitome of it. You just say no.
That's what we try and do here at the Radio Ranch with this project and this material. And I got something real exciting that just came on the horizon. I'm not going to get into it now. We're going to develop it later in the week. But one of the people that I'm going to really lean on real heavily in discussing this is our regular other group therapy contributor that hails from the gambling city out west of Lost Wages. Hey, Chris.
Oh, Chris.
Well, hello there, Deanna, and everyone on the call.
Chris. How are you?
Well, Deanna, I am marvelous, but I'm just mortified that my friend Roger would drag you off your disability pants from your reality. So just as testimony to your feminine mystique that you can't keep a good woman down.
That's true. That is really true.
It's all home week today at the Radio Ranch, evidently.
Yes.
Well, there's no business like show business, you know.
That's so true.
or show a business.
Yeah, show a business. I suppose
we should enlighten your self-defense specialist there that was a H-A-M like Mary, not an H-A-N-D.
Yes.
He was talking about.
I didn't want to ruin the moment, Chris.
No, yeah. I was thinking the same thing. Isn't that funny?
It's funny. It really is. Chris, I sent you an email last night. I want you to follow up on it. We'll talk about it later. Probably talk about it with Tom tomorrow. But I want you to be able to make your comment. You and Deanna, set up next time y'all are going to have tea.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime with Deanna, we always have great conversation on her shows on the other network, and I think it's quite a coup d'etat for you to have her twice on the True Frequency channel and also with the Microfact.
Well, Deanna and I are kindred spirits in many
we
respects.
Are. Indeed, we are.
That's why we all play so well together.
Yes,
that's so true.
No, it's funny you should say that. That phrase popped into my head over the weekend. That used to be a fun phrase, you know, where they say, they mark on your report card, doesn't play well with others.
That's funny.
Well, just depends on the others.
So, as a description for somebody, you know, like Richard Pearl, doesn't play well with others.
Oh, for sure. That's for sure.
Oh, Lord.
Well, I think there are some these days that prefer that to be a title of nobility. Doesn't play well with others. It's like a feather in your cap.
They don't want to play with just the mere slave population. You know, they want to play with them in a different respect of that word.
Indeed.
So we'll
got me out traveling around a little bit.
So, all right, now who's going to join in there? Somebody step up.
Well, all I can say is this is a very complex bunch of people here that are very equal and above the mentality.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm not surprised that his work quit. He was getting pretty worn around
I think that's somebody on another call, so I'll pop Chris off there. Yeah, these group therapy sessions are real interesting. You know, I tell Deanna I'm going to open up the phones. It's like, you know, and all of a sudden you got all these guys that have been doing this here as of late calling in and having these sessions, Deanna. And you know what I've found is the audience really likes it. Okay.
I think so.
I get back emails and stuff talking about it, you know, and these are just conversations that have developed with input, and it's just fabulous to have the platform to be able to do this and to have the quality of listeners that we have. And you know that, I guess, because you have a lot of the same ones, evidently.
Apparently so. When you said Las Vegas, I thought, oh, Chris. I mean, I didn't even think. It's like he's the only person that lives there. I just assumed it was him.
Well, we call him our reg co-host caller. He's like a co-host caller on this program, and we're
indeed
have him. So, anybody got something serious to add here before we end up for the day?
Well, what I was saying, can you hear me okay?
We hear you fine, Doug.
Okay. Yeah, was that the mentality from all aspects of our enemy, okay, who are doing their best with all their money and resources and everything, they're like low level, just like, it's so disgusting, but they're idiots, okay? They haven't changed their motive operandi in years. They're still trying to use it because there's nobody there that can actually keep up the speed with what we're doing, okay? So they just have to keep putting out the same dribble. And meanwhile, we're destroying them piece by piece by piece because of the message getting out, all the messages getting out of truth, which dispels darkness. It dispels the lies, and this thing that's going on has come to its time, and they can't reverse it.
You know,
let
me give you a little analogy here, Doug, because I think about this kind of stuff often, and that is they're prisoners of their own design, and the reason for that is because it's based on lies and deception, and therefore takes time. And that means they have to do it slowly, and it has to be done through gradualism. And what the internet has done is given us lightning fast communication and forums like this that we're on right here today that go all over the world virtually instantaneously. And just like a guerrilla force would defeat any organized army. Look at us in Vietnam. Look at us in the revolution, because that's how we beat the English. Okay, it's that same technique, and that's exactly what's happening on a bigger scale here with information and the awakening of the public soldier, if you will, mobilizing in their own little, hopefully, self-help group and ways and methods and circles of influence to help spread the awakening that's happening. And it's working into a point in the worldwide scale where we've got what you were referring to earlier about a spiritual awakening, that a quickening, some have called it, and it's happening right now. We're right in the middle of it.
And let's not forget one major, major, major thing here, that this beast system uses fear as its primary motive to control everything. And therefore, all their minions, they have to, their minions are the ones that get this message even before it goes out to us, of fear, 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 fear. And so they're under fear, and fear itself as a martial artist is something you cannot entertain. You cannot have in your mind if you want to win.
Well, let me bring it back to the spiritual. Let me bring it to the spiritual aspect again.
Well, this is spiritual.
Let me bring your statement right there back to that and accent it then. You serve the one you fear.
And fear bringeth a snare.
That's their tactic, and what they've done is they've changed the underlying system of law, put a presumption of law in there that shifted in their favor, that you're now property in this system, and they promote that agenda with administrative agencies, and now it's being militarized through the police agencies and the military, and they're about to turn it right back on the whole country. And that, in a nutshell, where we are, and it all runs off of that fear, the fear, fantasized experiences appearing real. So, sorry, Doug, but you're absolutely right, and you hit it right on the head, man.
And we're winning because when fear bringeth a snare, and that is the diet that they're feeding their own people. What a snare is not something that kills. A snare is something that catches, and it holds that animal hold until it dies, either of being eaten by other animals, but it's caught. It can't get away. It can't move around. A snare is rather small, and fear bringeth a snare. But see, we're not fearful of them. We are laughing at them, and we're scoffing at them, and we're coming against them, and they're caught in their snare that all their millions, maybe they're more than us or whatever, they are caught in their own snare.
We're turning it against them, and I'll tell you what's turned against us is time. Deanna Spingola Speaks is your website, correct? And you're on Republic?
It's actually Spingola.com, and the archives are at SpingolaSpeaks.net, and I am on RBN on Saturday from 3 to 6 Central Time.
Well, we're just about off of True Frequency, all that at the end of the show description. Deanna, thank you, dear. We'll have you back soon. I hope you feel better.
Oh, I will. Right. I'm a fighter. Right. I'm a fighter.
Will you be in touch, girl?